Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Todd Klink's SharePoint Podcast number 312, recorded live on a very spooky Halloween, October 31st, 2016. Of course, I am your host, the Dread Pirate Roberts, and I'm being joined today by...
good old-fashioned Grumpy Bear. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm a Care Bear who loves you. Was that terrible?
Folks, I apologize for that. That was far worse than I expected it would be. And I expected it to be pretty bad, honestly. So before we get into the meat of all this, I have to give a shout out to our sponsors, Rackspace. You can go to sharepoint.rackspace.com to find out about all of our SharePoint products. And rackspace.com/Microsoft for the rest of the products. If you want to reach out to me, my email address is todd.klint@rackspace.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at Todd Klint. I'm on Instagram at Todd Klint. I think that's all I have. Grumpy Bear, how can they get a hold of you?
You know, since you don't watch the shows when I do them by myself, you know, one of the realizations I had last week while reading those wonderful sponsor announcements was... that both of the web properties that you do, those are both my children. I created both of those ones at Rackspace. So really, you're promoting my work to show the world how great I am. That's the way I see your sponsor announcement.
Is it, if that's what it takes, sure.
So it gets me through the day. Yep. Nope. Like Todd said, you know, you hit me on Twitter at Shane's Cows, shane.young@boldzebras.com. Those guys. And as always, you know, on my favorite YouTube channel, where I'm going to probably do a video wearing this lovely garb, just because why not?
Oh,
so, I'm burning up. I am so hot in this outfit. How's the mask treating you? You doing all right?
Pretty good. So let's get into production notes, and then we got a thing here about the costumes. We can hit all that. Production notes. I'm all caught up. So put 311 and 312, or 310 and 311 up this week. So they're all good to go. You can experience 310, which is the one you and I did 2 weeks ago. 311 is the sad and pathetic one that you did by yourself last week, but I decided to put it up anyway. So it is up there. And also tell the kids about Channel 9.
Yeah, well, we talked about it last week. We talked about it again this week, right? We're getting those out there on Channel 9. So 305 through 310 are up on Channel 9, and then 311 will be up there tomorrow. And yeah, it's just a... you know, talking to some different people, like our good buddy Jerry there, he said that, you know, for him, it's easier to consume content from Channel 9 than it is for YouTube because they're offline, they can download, you know, that type of stuff. So another avenue, right? It only takes another 7 hours of our lives to put it out there. So why not?
Yep. And I, Shane and I were talking about this and some other things today. I've got a PowerShell script or a combination of them that do different pieces. So that will just be another piece that we will... add in there where it copies it over to there and try to get that all automated. That was kind of Shane's idea, was to get that stuff up on Channel 9. If you have any other ideas, let us know, reach out to us and let us know where else you'd like to see our content. I know somebody emailed me, and I need to email them back, that the podcast doesn't show up on the Google Play podcast aggregator. So I need to figure out what it takes to get up on there and get it there.
Yeah, that would be handy. You know, the other thing we added with the videos, right, is we've got these great thumbnails now where people get to see not only physical but visual comedy. So
yes. I love that. Yeah, there's all. So, and last week, I will admit, so Shane, these were all Shane's idea. I got to give credit where credit's due. And so Shane's idea was, before every show, we take a picture of each of us and he puts the thumbnail together. And since I wasn't in last week's show, I was getting ready to type to him, we'll just put your own picture in and we will take care of that. But then he's like, we need a picture of your empty chair. I'm like, that's brilliant. So there's a picture of my empty chair and then Shane. So
good enough reason to go to Channel 9 right there just to see the empty chair.
And I started using my YouTube and my podcast too. So, or my blog. So, all right, so let's talk about the costumes here for a minute. So you are Grumpy Bear, and I got my costume starting to do some weird stuff here.
Your makeup's running.
Yeah. So you are Grumpy Bear, one of the Care Bears, and you did want to mention that you have a big Care Bear on your butt as well.
Yeah, there's a nice little Care Bear heart, you know, sharing is caring, right there on my backside. So I don't know what that... means for you. I'm glad that there's this distance between us. We're not doing the show side by side, is all I can say.
Don't flatter yourself. But that'll be very adorable as you're doing your trick-or-treating. Myself, I bring this up because I had to explain this to Shane because he's never seen it. I am the Dread Pirate Roberts from the movie The Princess Bride. So I've got the whole pirate costume. I've got the sword also. And for those of you that have seen the movie, not Shane, because he is uncultured, I actually put the sword on the left side so that it would look like I was left-handed, because in the movie, that's a very pivotal part of one of the fights, is that that he acts like he's left-handed, and then as he's starting to lose, then he switches over and he's really right-handed and he wins. So, yeah. And I'm going to take the mask off because the mask is kind of distracting.
Yeah, and so I'm glad you educated me on this. I've always kind of wanted to see the movie, but not really enough to actually go and see the movie, if that makes sense. Hoping it's like the other one that you'll just, you know, show up at my house from Amazon. I'll be like, who sent this? And Todd will be like, watch the movie.
Yes, yes. I've thought about that because you do need to see it. There are so many cultural references that you just don't understand now because you haven't seen the movie. So Blake's seen it, you know, all that. Yeah, great movie. It's pretty good. So, yeah, but the it was a good costume. And then to make it completely valuable, Jill, we went to a Halloween party on Saturday night. Jill had a dress and she went as Princess Buttercup. So we got to do that that whole thing. So
Princess Buttercup. These are some fabulous names you've got here. And really, we're really bringing value to the viewers too. Here's the things we talk about.
The thing is, you're the only one between us and the viewers that haven't seen this movie and don't love it. So everybody loves it, and they're all reminiscing about what a great movie, and you just don't get it because you're, I don't know.
So you're hoping that if they associate us with a good movie that they'll think that we're a good show. Is that it?
Well, they already like me, and they don't need that association, but I'm hoping it'll help you a little bit. That's what I'm hoping. Just a little boost here.
You're so kind.
Yep. So all these lines, Christopher, have fun storming the castle, inconceivable. You seem a decent fellow. I hate to kill you. You know, and then the follow up to that, and you seem a decent fellow. I hate to die. It's just a great movie. Very witty, very funny. Yeah, for those of you that have seen the movie, if you haven't read the book, read the book. There's actually at the beginning of the movie, there's a book. Read the book. It adds a whole nother dimension to the movie.
A good dimension, like the fourth dimension, or, you know,
I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to spoil the movie for you and the book for them. It's different. Yeah.
Well, good. You know, and so here we're at a history lesson. So the whole left-handed, right-handed thing reminded me of, you know, in castles, they would make the stairs, the spiral staircases, so that I forget the way they spun them, but right, they were spun the right direction, so the right-handed attacker from the top had the advantage. The guy going up, being right-handed, was always like having to worry about bumping up against the wall, but the guy defending from the top had all that free room to swing because the staircase spiraled clockwise. Part of the defense.
Yeah, you're I love watching the wheels turn as you're trying to figure out how that was the right-handed with the
Look, I'm a Care Bear. All I'm supposed to do is give people hugs. That's all you should expect out of me, is hugs.
And I'm an ambidextrous pirate, so it doesn't matter which way the stairwell spins because I can fight left-handed or right-handed.
Poorly, but you can fight either hand.
Yeah. Well, and just this week when I was in Sweden, I got to tell somebody the story about the left-handed volleyball at your house and how I nearly killed myself.
Which reminds me, I found something I was going to add to the background, but I decided we had enough going on in this show, so the next episode, I'm going to bring that story back up.
Oh, and you're not going to tell me what it is? You're going to spring it on me?
Isn't that what I always like to do, is to, you know, give you that chance to react?
Awesome.
Right. We're terrible at scripted comedy, but we do okay at this ad-lib stuff. So.
All right. So speaking of, let's move on and actually do some value, some actual all stuff. Right.
Well, this first one's yours, right? So something about Flow and Power Apps.
Yeah. So I was in Europe last week, and I was busy conferencing, and the time zone stuff was off. And my internet connection was just crap at a bunch of different places. And my tablet wouldn't charge, and it was just a big mess. So some of these things I didn't get to research as much as I wanted to. But one of the things that was announced today is that Microsoft is going to make generally available Microsoft Flow and Power Apps tomorrow. And these are a couple of interesting things that they've been talking about for a while, and there's nothing really earth-shattering here other than the fact that they're making them available. Microsoft Flow is like Rapier or If This Then That, IFTTT. So you set up recipes, and there's triggers and actions and things like that. But of course, it's Microsoft's spin on it, so it's got good integration with Microsoft products, Office 365, and all that. And then Power Apps is a way to make applications for mobile, web, and all that kind of thing. And they've been out for a while, and they've been in beta and things like that. But now they're going to be generally available to Office 365 customers tomorrow.
Be interesting, you know, and the people I've talked to about Flow, like, so, you know, Laura Rogers and I, who's in the chat room. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
You know, she's talked about it because they kind of keep pushing her, quit doing, you know, the workflow stuff that she does and just do it in Flow. And if you've ever seen one of the workflows that Laura writes, I mean, they're 400 pages of stuff that I don't even understand. I mean, I had to go in and document them for her, and I still don't understand what they did.
No.
So, you know, it seems like Flow, it's kind of a first pass. I'm glad they're getting it RTM so it can kind of start to mature, but it sounds like we're still a little bit of ways before you can throw away all your SharePoint workflows.
Yeah, and I think so. Both of these, and I don't know if Microsoft has said this officially or not, so this is kind of speculation on my part. Flow is obviously like a next iteration of a workflow engine, though a very basic one, like you said. It's the first pass. It will get better. It will iterate. And Power Apps is very much like InfoPath-y, sort of. Like, it's not going to replace InfoPath in its current form, but I can see how maybe they're trying to figure that out, like make it do that.
Yeah, I mean, they've been trying to kill InfoPath for, what, 6 years, 7 years now? So
I was at the funeral at the SharePoint conference. I saw Joel and all the folks march by with the casket, and yeah, it was gone. It was dead.
That was weird.
It was a little weird. I agree. So a couple of things about the Power Apps. And again, it's going to be this app platform. It will work. So it's based on Office 365 licensing and all that, but it will work with on-prem SharePoint and on-prem SQL. And that's kind of a big deal. And the way that it does that is there's an on-premises gateway that you have to run. And but as people are looking at Power Apps, it's easy to say, oh, it's an Office 365. They own that whole backend. It probably just works with SharePoint Online and all that. It does actually work with on-prem components as well.
Well, at least it's a step in the right direction, not segmenting the audience early.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you and I have been doing this for a while, and we saw the whole everybody and everything to the cloud. We saw that spectacularly fail, and Microsoft just trip and fall right on their faces. I think they are well aware now that everything has to be hybrid. And so everywhere that it's possible, everywhere that it's feasible, something has to work on-prem and in the cloud, if at all possible.
Right. And then, you know, and if you take, you know, the next thing we're going to talk about there, the release of the SharePoint for the Android app that came out last week also, you know, it shows, though, the Microsoft's heart, right? So they're like, hey, it's available now for Office 365. And at some point in the future, it'll be available for 2013 and 2016 on-prem. But no dates, no promises, just it's coming. So
yeah,
they're still trying to steer you that the cloud is always first. But hopefully they'll continue to support us on-prem folk for as long as they can.
They will. And I think this one, the SharePoint for Android client, I think that doesn't – its lack of support for on-prem is not malicious or intentional or conniving of any way. But it's just a support thing. They wanted to get it out. They just haven't, you know, like you said, their emphasis is on cloud, but, you know, so they did that first, but it'll get there. And I think they realize that's where their bread and butter's at. I think they realize that nobody's going to move to the cloud if it means immediately giving up on-prem. And so they're going to make that work as well as they can.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, exactly right. And, you know, the Office 365 is also probably a lot easier to dev for because they control all the moving pieces. Whereas when they get an on-prem, God only knows what you people have done to your on-prem form. So there's a lot more variables for them to contend with.
Yeah, and I thought the SharePoint client for Android did do on-prem.
The blog post I read said, the blog post that you just linked to there is said that it's coming later.
Well, I linked to the app on...
It was whoever's tweet.
Yeah, I linked to the app in Android.
Yes, I think it was Teeper's tweet that I quoted there, but whoever it was, it said later.
Maybe I got ahead of myself there, but yeah, they're gonna do it. It's gonna be there. They have to.
Yep.
And that's good stuff. And again, you know, as we're discussing this, we're like, well, was that the Play Store, or whatever? It's for all the platforms. It's all the things to all the people. And there've been a bunch of the things that we haven't talked about in this podcast and we won't have time to, like the virtual reality stuff that Microsoft's been announcing and coming out. It is crazy how today in 2016, Microsoft is the open innovative company now. It's the one that's doing the crazy things. Today, they also announced that they are releasing some of their data center specs to as part of Open Compute. It's open source. Man, that's just great. That is just not the Microsoft we're used to seeing.
Yeah. Well, what that tells me is this costs so much money, you could never do this recipe yourself. So here's the specs. Have fun.
I think it's all very exciting. It's a good time to be in the Microsoft space. Now, I spent last week at conferences, and any of you that have met me in person know that I'm just a very friendly guy and just willing to talk at length to anybody about anything. But I spent a lot of time talking to the attendees, and there was both on-prem admin type things and consultants that were there. So talking to them about all of this, and there is some concern, some confusion about what IT pros are going to do. And my advice to them was, man, there's stuff to do. You can't stay where you're at. You have to learn new things because Microsoft is moving so fast right now. And that might be becoming a Power App expert, even though you're not a developer or something like that. But there's things to be doing. And Microsoft's got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things, another topic you missed last week. You should really show up for the shows. They're much more interesting.
Not a chance.
So the week, I guess 2 Fridays ago, I did the SharePoint, ScarePoint Cincinnati, right? Halloween, like 2 weeks ago. And so I had a couple sessions. The first one, admin, it was normal audience, yay, normal questions. And then my second one was doing SharePoint and Azure. And it was really just about, here's, an overview of what Azure can do, all the different pieces, getting into the IaaS stuff, the AD stuff, virtual networks, all that fun stuff. And one person showed up for the AD one. And I was like, well, I'm sure the chat room's going to tell me it's just because I suck. That's fine. But it really kind of upset me. I'm like, Cincinnati, you got to get it together. You've got to go and take advantage of the chances like this to learn new things, because things like Azure, they're a reality. We can't just be like, whatever, Azure's stupid.
Yeah.
We need to learn it.
Yeah, so for both of the conferences that I went to last week, and it was very fortuitous that it worked this way, but I did the same two sessions at both conferences. And it was upgrading from SharePoint 2013 to 2016, and then Azure AD. So the whole replicating one that we did in Boston. The upgrading one got more folks. In Sweden, I got the big room, the main room, and the conference wasn't huge, but I think I had probably 40, 50 people in that session. The Azure AD one, they're both right after lunch. And the Azure AD one, like 2 minutes before it started, there was like three people in the room. And I thought it was going to be like your thing. But it was just because it was after lunch. So like 25 people walked in right at the start. But I was impressed with how many people that were in that room. The room was full, and a lot of people had done Azure AD and were, looking to pick up tips and stuff like that. So they seemed to get it. I was impressed.
Well, I mean, Sweden's always ahead of Cincinnati, Ohio. I mean, I think that's just a fact. We'll just have to accept that.
They've been around longer. They've had a head start.
Is that what it is? It's not all the languages they speak or the neutralness, right? Because, we're very, we were always very confused here in Cincinnati, right? Where we were the north or the south. We're kind of we're on the Mason-Dixon line, so it's awkward.
Which is funny because there are like no states north of you. It's Canada. I mean, there's just...
Yeah, it's a whole turn in that way. According to Jonathan Mast, we are Canada. So, it just depends on your point of view.
Yeah.
I think...
Good.
Sorry, I was just going to kind of go into, speaking of like last week, back in the Wayback Machine. So Microsoft also had their big hardware announcement event last week. And I other people have covered it better than us. But I think it just spoke more to, you talking about the Microsoft being the innovative company right now, right? That Studio PC or Surface Studio is just, it's just amazing, right? I mean, it's awesome. And they got they're adding the 3D imaging to Windows mobile cameras. Yeah. Windows mobile getting a thing. I'm on an iPhone now, so I don't know what that means anymore. But, it was just really cool to see them. And I think what they're doing is they're trying to embrace the designers and those type of people. Because I think that's what they saw Apple use to get their foothold in the world was get to the designers. So now they're trying to leapfrog and make the designers interested in what Microsoft's going on. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I haven't had a chance to watch those videos and all that. Cause again, my internet connection was crud over there and I've just been busy since I got back, but there's something about a dial control or something. And
yeah. Well, it's funny though, right? So the Microsoft event was, I think, Wednesday, and the Apple one was on Thursday. And so then my feed just filled up with all the reasons the Apple event was terrible because of the Microsoft one. And I never really got to read details on what the Microsoft one did. I just got to read that it was better than what the Apple one was.
And did we ever think there would be a time when that would happen?
There was a long period when no, we did not worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, there was the time back in the 90s at the Mac thing where Bill Gates went up on the big screen and said Microsoft's putting a bunch of money into Apple so they don't go away. And then Apple has all these great, cool things and these very slick presentations and Steve Jobs who could, you know, sell ice to an Eskimo. And they're just so glitzy and everything. And now people are going, yeah, that Apple thing was okay. But did you see the Microsoft announcement? I mean, that's just madness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what happened though is Apple just became a dongle company, right? I mean, that was really Apple's undoing. And so, because you probably missed it, right? But the iPhone 7, they made the big deal. They got rid of the headset jack and they're like, hey, a lightning cable can solve everything. And you plug your lightning cable into a USB, you know, standard USB-A, I think. Is that what that is? The normal little slot.
Yeah.
Right? And so then they come up with the MacBook Pro. Oh man, it's all new. All it has is a USB-C connection and a headphone jack. So now if you want to connect your devices, you need like, I think it's like $269 worth of dongles to be able to connect all your devices to your MacBook Pro.
Yeah, and so I don't have any Apple devices and it's just not kind of my thing, but I use my headphone jack with my phone all the time. That's, and I would miss that. I don't know.
Yeah, there is an adapter, right? It came in the box, the adapter to go from my iPhone to some headphones, but I don't know.
Yeah, now I will say is the MVP thing, you got your MVP gift pack, right?
Yes.
So they had those goofy little Bluetooth headphone things. So I tried those. I kind of like them. Like I could see using those and I might buy something better than those that are like that.
I'll have to get them out of the box. I had not, I'd written them off as, you know, garbage.
Yeah. Well, they are trash. It's absolutely horrible. You should send them to me because I think that's the only real solution to this.
Well, that's, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to wear the scarf next week. I think that'll be,
I've got mine right over here. If it didn't clash with my thing. But yeah, so Bluetooth headphones have gotten to the point now where they're like the size of these, but just like little, you know, little things in line. But I was wearing them. I was walking around Slovenia and Sweden just to kind of get out and get some fresh air and all that. But I really liked them because I could leave my phone in my pocket. I didn't have to mess with it. And then if I saw anybody, I could just pull the things out of them. They're really nice. Laura got hers. She approves as well.
Well, son of a gun. I guess I'll go check out the cool present I got that I didn't even realize I got.
You know.
I think, you know, just kind of finishing up announcements there. Well, man, we got a few more. Man, this is like the announcement show. The Microsoft's got another event this week, right? And it is more in our space. It's an office event. So it's on a Wednesday this week, 11 a.m. Eastern. You can watch it live, but it'd be interesting to see, right? They're hopefully going to announce some Office 365 updates, you know, probably that Flow version 7 is now available. And there's also rumor that they'll announce Microsoft Teams, which is supposed to be their version of Slack. And since I hate Slack, I need something new to show up and take Slack away from me. So I'm kind of excited.
Well, and you know, maybe we've been on Slack for the chat room for the podcast, you know, for gosh, almost a year now. So maybe we need to move that to Microsoft Teams if that doesn't suck.
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to step up from what was the old stuff you used to use, the IRC?
IRC, yeah.
So yeah, it's technology. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens in that announcement this week. So you had something in the notes about Feature Pack 2.
Yeah, so this is an unofficial announcement, but I think a lot of people probably saw that there was a SharePoint Saturday Redmond this past Saturday, right? You got to get the show out soon because we're living in the past already. But so at that, Tom Riesing said that a guy named Adam Harmitz, who I've never heard of, but is apparently like head of the product engineering group or something now.
Yep, I've met Adam.
Oh, maybe I have too. Whoops, sorry, Adam. Not that you watched the show, so you won't know that I said I didn't know you were. But so apparently he said that they're committed to getting Feature Pack 2 out in 2017. So once again, more good news for us on-prem folk that they are literally going to stay after it and keep us rolling us updates.
Yeah. And so let's do an overview of that. So in May, Microsoft said we're going to add SharePoint Online features to SharePoint on-prem in little incremental chunks. So you don't have to wait the 3 years. that's crazy. And they said, we're going to do that feature pack sometime in 2017. And then they, you know, announced here a month or so ago at Ignite, the feature pack one will actually come out in 2016. So they got ahead of schedule. That thing's going to come out, you know, in a week and a half or whatever, when the November patches come out. And now they're already saying the next feature pack is going to come out, that they're announcing it before the first one even comes out. And it's going to come out when we thought the first one was going to come out. That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, and you said you wondered what us administrators are going to do. We're going to be patching SharePoint 2016. We're going to be
installing feature packs. Yeah. Oh. So that's great news. And the first feature pack's got a lot of great stuff in it. So I'm interested to see if they're able to keep up that level of quality for feature pack too, because there's a lot of great stuff there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I have not played with feature pack one yet. And I'm looking forward to getting that installed and really looking at how does that, you know, kind of change the story. I think right now when you go out and look at, you know, what does the build story look like? It's so hard. It's a feature pack one, you know, with the reduction in mineral and things like that. It's hopefully going to open the door to more people moving to SharePoint 2016. So fingers crossed that it buys us some more customers.
Yeah. Yeah. And a couple of reminders, there will be no service packs for SharePoint 2016. They're not doing service packs. The cumulative updates are cumulative. So, you know, we got that going for us. So at any point, any SharePoint 2016 farm can have any later patch put on it. So you want to do feature pack one and you haven't got any, you know, you've got an RTM farm, no problem. You can just put it on.
So, should be interesting.
Yep. And we should do something. You should update your videos, or we should do something once that patch comes out.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how long does it take to put on an existing farm as well, right? So, because there'll be two sets of videos. There'll be one of just building a new farm with it. The other will be adding it as a patch. And, you know, the September and October patches for 2016 have been such pains in my butt. I'm hoping this one's not as much of a pain.
Yeah. So you had a note about what's deprecated in SharePoint 2016?
Yeah, I just randomly tripped over a TechNet article that's been out there for a little bit, but it's just a list of all the things that are deprecated with SharePoint 2016. So if you ever wonder, you know, can you just not find the new feature, or is, you know, Duet or Do It or whatever it is, is it just really gone and deprecated? So there's a nice article there that lets you do that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to spend a couple of minutes on, again, you know, you and I have talked about Azure AD and how that's becoming a thing. A few months ago, Microsoft announced Azure AD B2B and B2C. Azure AD B2B is business to business. And this is the ability for a company that has an Azure AD tenant using Office 365 or whatever to secure things in their tenant using identities from another business's Azure AD account. So the advantage to this is if I've got my company, Spacely Sprockets, and I want, you know, and Shane works for the competitor, Coswell Cogs, I can't remember what the...
That's right.
Yes. Now, if I want to let him in, I don't have to create another Shane account on my AD. I can do the B2B thing, and I can add his account to my AD, and then his IT folks have to manage all that. When Shane forgets his password, they have to reset it. When Shane gets fired, they have to disable his account, and I don't have to worry about any of that. I just give him access to my things in my business. And so that's great functionality. But when it first came out, Microsoft said, well, it doesn't support consumer email addresses, because there was kind of two steps to it. If I invited somebody to my Azure AD and they had Azure AD, everything just fell together. If I invited somebody to my Azure AD B2B and they did not have an Azure AD account, Microsoft would create a tenant for them using that free Azure AD SKU and then add them in. But you couldn't do that with things like Gmail accounts, Comcast.net, all that kind of stuff. So Microsoft announced this week some changes to the API, and they kind of slowly slid in that whole, it works with any email address now. So that's good.
It is. You know, those are the type of features that a company I used to work at, I used to be like, hey, this is why Azure AD should become the center of our authentication story, because they're going to do all the hard plumbing work. Yep. And we can just consume it for pennies. Why would we ever go and write our own authentication providers when there it is?
Yeah, and the thing about that, and you and I have been saying this for a while, Microsoft is not going to rest until every single beating heart has an Azure AD login. Just every so you're going to get there. Everybody's going to have at least one, probably many. And so, yeah, why you would fool with that, I don't even know.
It blows my mind. Yeah. Because they do. They connect everything. And they also, we pointed out on the show several times before, right? Microsoft keeps using Azure AD features to get people to move to the cloud. They're like, hey, you want to do this thing? Just throw an account in Azure AD and you can log right in. And they're just going to keep so many carrots that eventually we're going to have to accept. So do it.
Yep. Tangentially, I was in my Hotmail account yesterday looking at some of my IDs and stuff. And I have some email addresses in my Hotmail aliases that are also in business things like my old SharePoint 911, my Rackspace, all that. And I'm thinking, you know, I want to delete some of these and clean this up, but I don't know what I'm going to break if I do. So I'm almost afraid to.
Yeah, I had a hard time with that. One of my old live IDs was Shane at SharePoint 911. And it took me like a month to reclaim that because I don't have that email address anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah. So the last thing we're running a little over, something that I wanted to talk about that I just stumbled across. Somebody tweeted today and I forgot to see what it was. I've got Windows 10. I've got multiple monitors here. And one of the things that I struggle with is which window things are on, and I have to drag stuff and all that. So forever, since Windows 8 came out, I've known about the whole Windows key left, right, and it will bounce, you know, left, center, whatever, across. But I found out today that if you do Windows key shift right and left, it bounces the window in exactly the same size from monitor to monitor.
I'm currently playing with it. I'm sorry, I'm not paying any attention anymore.
I wouldn't pay attention to me either if I didn't have to.
Yeah, that's kudos to that person.
That is slick as hell. I've wanted that because, like, as I'm moving different things, like I was producing the show today and I had Camtasia and OneNote and a bunch of other things. And depending on what two things I was working with at the same time, I wanted them on separate monitors. But then I'm mousing and I'm clicking and I'm dragging. And this is perfect. So for all of you running Windows 10 out there, use that one.
Surprised I didn't blue screen my computer. All right. Yep. So I think that ties us up, right? We got people dropping out to go trick or treating. I'm supposed to be. Oh, look, Laura Rogers is like, what? I missed it. Windows key, Laura, and then the shift key, and then the arrow left and right.
Alt F4, Laura. You just want to hold down the Alt key and then hit F4. That's the keystroke you're looking for.
And if you're doing a command prompt, you should always type format C colon.
F-disk is my favorite.
Oh, F-disk, there you go.
So for self-promotion, I've ran out of things to promote. I've done all my things, so it's up to you.
Yeah, well, so you were supposed to promote that Lori is getting things ready for your birthday present, your yearly donation to charity, kind of that drive that she does for that. So if anybody's interested in that, they need to hit up old Miss Lori Gowan. She'll help them get hooked up with how to participate in that. And then on my shameless promotion, I will actually be doing the Power Hour with Miss Laura Rogers, Wonder Laura, on Wednesday. And so we'll be talking about SharePoint online in Office 365 and PowerShell and kind of how to work through all that. So we're going to talk about how to get this stuff installed, how to kind of run some scripts to do some of the core things. Right, Laura was hitting me up today. She's like, I need to delete a list in PowerShell online. I don't know how. And you know, we kind of had to work through that because it's not exactly the same. So we cover all that. And then we're also going to talk about the PNP stuff, the
patterns and practices.
Yeah. And just because in reality, to do anything with SharePoint online, PowerShell, you need the patterns and practice stuff. So
yeah, you really do.
So that's all I got.
Yeah, I got nothing. So in the channel line channel, do we have a URL for that that's easy to remember? Do I need to make one?
Yeah, we're going to have to make a shortcut one because all the ones they have is essentially a link to either your channel 9 account or my channel 9 account. And then there's the videos. There's no easy way to do it otherwise.
All right. Remind me tomorrow. I'll make a short URL, toddclint.com/channel9videos or something. And send people that way.
Very cool. Need to make one at channel 9 or toddclint.com/Shane is awesome to send them on my YouTube channel too.
I don't think that nobody would type that. Nobody. Not even your mom.
I don't think she would. All right. I got to go. I am sweating to death.
All right. See everybody. See you back next week. Happy Halloween, everybody. Trick or treat. See you next week.
Care Bear Glove.